Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
Winning with Mainstay and Anna Lee and Bob. I'm your host, Anna Lee Leonard. And of course, I have my partner, business partner here with me today, Mr. Bob Bershey. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Anna Lee. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, you know, we got to see each other for a minute this morning and kind of waved and said, hi, Bob. And you said, hi, Anna Lee. And we got to talk for about 2 minutes, and now you're over there and I'm over here. So, tis the new life that we lead,
well,
my dear.
You don't know this, but I'm on your calendar at 2:30. So.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, I mean, the poor man's got to make an appointment to see me.
That's
really bad.
Down the hall, but
that's
I have
really
to make an appointment.
Bad.
That's right.
I love it. Well, listen. Besides the fact we're cold, at least it's sunny today. We are well into the new year. We're in the second month of the new year. In fact, the second day of the second month. That's kind of prophetic, isn't it? I always like to recognize good work when it happens. Bob can tell you there's nothing that bothers me worse than work that is halfway done or not done in a professional manner. And I know a lot of people are getting repairs done. They're still looking to have things done after the hurricane. I just want to say to you, Bucco Roofing did the roof at my home before the hurricane. They did the roof here at the office after the hurricane because we had to have a new roof. And I want to tell you, if you want a roof done well, Bucco Roofing, B-U-C-C-O. They do a good job. They're efficient. They clean up. I can only say good things about them. One of the other things that a lot of people have had to have done are fences. Now, believe me, there are a lot of them out there that are doing really shoddy work, half done work, very unprofessional work. But if you want good work, I know personally, DP, and it's a Roman numeral 3, DP3 LLC, that's Don Perry III. Don does an excellent job with fencing. I had contracted one company. They came out and did such a horrible job that I had to pay to have it totally redone. Don Perry and his group came out and redid the entire fence. And I want to tell you, they did an unbelievably good job. Yeah. Again, cleaned up behind themselves, no mess, no nails, took care of trying to level ground back out. I mean, just again, Don Perry, DP, Roman numeral 3, DP3 LLC. I would recommend him anytime if you need fencing. Yeah. So.
And Bucco Roofing, I walked the perimeter of the property, and you know, anybody that's had a roof done, you're going to find one of those little orange washers with the nail, you know, the plastic washers, the roofing nail, and not one. Everything stacked in a pile, you know, everything stacked, all of the leftover, you know, supplies in a little 3x3, you know, right next to the door. Very professional. So great job.
Yeah. That's actually impressive, and your car will thank you later, so you don't run them over.
Oh, tell me about it. Well, I got to tell you, these first clowns that came out to do my fence, I literally picked up 2.5 boxes of screw-type nails. 2.5 boxes I picked up.
Wow.
So, you know, that's just not what you want. You want somebody who's going to clean up behind themselves, do a good job. So that's two good companies for you, Bucco Roofing and DP3 LLC, Don Perry III, one for roofing, one for fencing. So right. Now I've done my good deed for the day, Bob.
Yes, yes, you did. And, yeah, I saw the fence, too. And, it, you know, the first go around was, you know, didn't look too great. I remember they didn't measure from the, you know how you make sure you put the odd sized one next to the fence, you know, or into a corner. And this, you know, somebody sheared a sliver about a 2-inch dog ear. Right next to the hinge of where the gate opens. And I was like, whoa, that isn't right.
I mean, totally unprofessional, childish. I could have done better. Yeah. And that's bad if I say I could have done any kind of woodwork better. That's really not good.
But Bucco Roofing and DP3, outstanding.
DP3 LLC. It's Don Perry that does the fencing. So give those guys a call. Tell them I told you to call them. And I said, if they keep doing a good job, we'll keep talking about them. Okay. So that keeps everybody out there. Now, of course, here we are into February. Lots of what the people in the Navy would call scuttlebutt going around. In other words, rumors, things that we think, but we're not sure. When's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? This one said it. No, that one said it. So Bob and I listened to a wonderful presentation made by Deborah Taylor and Jeffrey Levine of Horse's Mouth. Jeffrey Levine used to be a part of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA group, and that's how I got to know Jeff over the years. Brilliant, brilliant young man. And then he went over to Horse's Mouth and kind of started his own process of tax planning with Ed Slott's blessings and goodwill. Just two really smart people talking about some of the things that are going on and some of the tax things that we're concerned about. Now, most of us, to point right now, don't have to worry about what are called estate taxes. Now, Bob, you want to talk a little bit about that as the attorney? Let people know what that means when you say an estate tax, not an income tax, not a federal tax, an estate tax.
Right. The estate tax is a tax levied on your estate, so the assets that you own at death. And it can be, it historically has been the most punitive, confiscatory tax in our tax system. A lot of people don't know about it because you don't pay the tax until you're no longer with us. It is an estate tax on one's estate, not to be confused with an inheritance tax. An inheritance tax, well, there is no federal inheritance tax, but there are state inheritance taxes where in some states, like Connecticut, like New York, some states where once the estate is settled and they've already levied the estate tax on the estate, the beneficiaries have to pay an inheritance tax at the state level. But again, the estate
and
tax.
And we don't have one in Florida.
We do not have one in Florida, but the estate tax was and has been and will probably be as high as 55%. That is a sporty tax rate, right, Annalee?
Well, that's very high, but but again, right now, now notice what I'm saying, right now,
right
as
now.
We speak, the estate tax exclusion is $11,700,000 per person.
Right.
Now, the majority of us do not have to worry about leaving that kind of money. So the estate tax right now is so high that people have not really thought about it. And there's been a lot of big talk about, well, maybe it's going to be lowered. Let me say this. We don't know. We don't know.
Right.
Probably it will be. What is the number it's going to come down to? I have no idea. They're talking about bringing it back down to 5 million a person. Some are talking about 3 million a person.
Right.
Again, that doesn't affect the majority of people. It affects a lot more people because the estate takes in everything. You know, it's your house and your automobiles and your accounts that you have. And by the time you add all that stuff in, you can get to the 2-3 million range. But most of us will never hit that 11 million. So that we have to wait and see what's going to happen.
Right.
Now, of course, the biggest thing that's going on right now is the talk about the people who make over $400,000 a year.
Right.
Biggest question on that, is it going to be $400,000 a year for a single person or $400,000 a year if you're a couple? That's a pretty big difference, isn't it?
It's huge.
You know? So what do you think is going to happen there, Bob? What kind of stuff are we getting on that?
Well, on the income tax side, I think for the highest earners, it is going up. And, you know, we keep hearing this $400,000 in taxable income figure. And, you know, and that's basically saying for the high income earners, it's going up. We will say this, the more this year progresses, the more of this year that we get behind us, the less likely that there will be big changes in the marginal federal income tax rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of people saying, oh, it's going to be retroactive to January of 2021. But all of the experts out there, and that's why we listen to people like Jeff Levine and Horse's Mouth and Ed Slott, all of the experts that are out there tend to feel that the true changes won't come in till 2022. They think the only one that they might come in with is, again, that over 400,000 of income, raising that tax rate. But again, that legislation has got to be written up. It's got to be approved.
Right.
It's not just like Biden can go in and say, okay, I want to do this, wiggle his nose, and it's done.
Right. Right. You know, the figures they're throwing around on that is taking that highest rate from 37% to 39.6, where it used to
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, that's, again, that will not affect the majority of us. But for those high income earners out there, they may need to start thinking about that and looking at some things that they might be able to do to help cut the tax bracket, not wait till the last minute. And there are a lot of things that a person can do. I mean, if you've got money that's out there that's invested, let's say that is you're getting a tax form at the end of the year for earned income on that, or you're getting dividends or whatever it may be, you might want to think about doing some things like investing that into a tax-friendly situation. We've got one of the sub-advisors we work with has a very nice tax-friendly set of investments, and they've earned pretty well. So that's one way to look at it. You could look at a registered investment advisor liquid variable annuity, which is the only kind of variable annuity we'll use if you want to keep that money in the market. You could look at safe annuities, because those or all the earnings are tax deferred.
Right.
So it could be a way to get around some of this stuff.
That's exactly right.
You know, we got to wait and see what's going to happen here. You know, again, remember, we it's got to be approved by both sides. Everybody's got to be in on it. So if you've got just a few people that kind of say, no, I don't want to do this, and vote against, it could hold it up.
Right.
I mean, I don't think everything that, that Biden has proposed is going to just automatically go through. I mean, have we ever seen the opposing side just roll over and play dead?
No. And, you know, and there is a lot of crossover when it comes to tax policy. And you know, you cannot say that all Democrats want to raise federal income tax rates and all Republicans want to keep them low. There's a lot of crossover. And anyway, I'm not saying it's a nonpartisan issue, but it's not as partisan as some things. I think, Jenna, do we have a caller or a text?
We do. We have a text. This is actually an excellent question. What is included in your estate for tax purposes?
Okay. Annalee?
No, you go ahead, Bob. Okay. You're the attorney.
Everything. Everything that you own. And that includes, if you have a life insurance policy and you own that policy and you have the ability to change the beneficiary or choose not to pay the premiums, you own that. Mm. When you die, those life insurance proceeds are included in your taxable estate. You never had that money, but it's included. And I think Annalee mentioned earlier, it adds up quickly. It adds up very quickly. And things that you never really had or enjoyed, and let's say, you know, you had a business and you had an office or you had a warehouse or something that you were working out of. And, you know, these people are so surprised. Yeah, I bought that. And, you know, the business did well. And next thing you know, it's worth $1 million. And and then again, the life insurance proceeds. Every business owner has life insurance. And most people do. But everything you own, that includes qualified plans, that includes annuities, that includes
everything.
Now, what is the biggest point of confusion on your taxable estate? Some people believe that if it escapes probate, it escapes your taxable estate. That is not true. Probate means it ownership is transferred more easily, but it is still included in your taxable estate. We see that all the time, don't we, Annalee?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this is why the higher income levels you're in, the more important it is to have a team that works with you, your advisor who works with your tax person, who works with your attorney, because then you have to get into some very sophisticated types of planning where you may do a trust that would become irrevocable before death. You may have what's called an irrevocable life insurance trust that's owned by the trust, not by you, and therefore is removed from the estate. A lot of different things you can do to help you plan with those things. But like I said, right now, the majority of us don't have to worry about it. What we've got to think about is the tax tables and what may start happening in 2022, which is why this may be a very good year if you're in one of those high-end tax brackets to do Roth conversions now rather than later. Right. I would rather pay 32 or 35% than 37, 39% on whatever I convert. This may be a year if you're nearing retirement to think about maybe it's time for me to stop because I don't want to earn that much money anymore. I don't want to give that much up in taxes. A lot of people are doing a lot of different things.
Right. We met with a gentleman on Friday, and he is 62 years old. He is retiring in October. His pension doesn't kick in until 65. He is going to wait to turn on his Social Security until his FRA, which is full retirement age. That'll be 66 and change. So what's interesting is he is not going to have any meaningful amount of income for the next 3 years. What a great opportunity to roll, or excuse me, I almost said it, convert assets from his IRA that he's, you know, from his 401k that he is rolling over into his IRA with us, and then we will every year convert a portion, maybe a third, so that when he is retired at 65 and is picking up Social Security at 66, his income is going up. He now has a Roth IRA where he will never pay taxes again on that account. But small window of opportunity.
And that's what you've got to look for is with the changes that are coming about, what does that mean to you in particular? Because everybody is going to be a little bit different. There are going to be some of us out there that are changes are going to come about. We're not even going to notice them because our change will be so small, if any. There are going to be others that are going to be pretty doggone big. I've got one client I've got an appointment set up with. He has a very high-powered position and makes a very good income. And he's pretty well decided this is going to be his last year he's going to work. He had actually retired once and got called back into the workforce. So he thinks that, okay, this time I'm really doing it. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of people doing those types of things. Now, another possible change that's out there that people are concerned about. And I want to remind you, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob, and we're talking about the possible tax changes that are coming about. If you have a question or you want to make a comment, call us or text us at 437-1620, please. We'd love to hear from you. One of the other things people are concerned about, of course, is losing or the elimination of what we call the step-up in basis. Now, how many years have they been talking about this, Bob?
Since I have been in this in this field, and that's been 30 years. It's always been, you know, it's always been a topic of discussion, but I think that's going to be the last shoe to drop. Don't you agree, Annalee?
I the more I look at it, the more I seriously think, I think, now this is not a fact, it's my opinion. I don't think they'll ever get rid of it because who does it benefit the most? The very wealthy.
Oh, right.
Who makes the laws?
Right. And
the very wealthy.
And besides that, I mean, it does promote the what do you call it? The natural transition of assets at death, because there are ways around avoiding the elimination of the step up in basis by, you know, housing these assets in an IRREV trust, in an irrevocable trust. And if the irrevocable trust lasts forever, and they can these days, it never dies. So the step up in basis or the elimination thereof is irrelevant. I just think that it's almost, remember we talked a couple of weeks ago about the Florida state income tax and if there would ever be an income tax in the state of Florida, and we talked about the constitutional amendment.
Now
there is no constitutional amendment affording us the step up in basis at the federal level, but I almost feel it's got that same level of sacred, you know, you know, that, you know, we've just always had it, so why would it go away?
Why would it go away? It would generate an awfully lot of tax if it did go away. And that would be, to me, the only reason that I would see them saying, okay, we're going to get rid of this. But I like you, Bob. I think that's almost like what we call sacrosanct, that it will not be touched for a very long time, if ever. But it's possibly there. So now we want to die with our assets. If they pass this law, we're going to want to make sure we don't die with our assets. Talk about a flip of the coin.
Right.
That's just kind of a crazy, crazy thing that's going on out there.
Right.
So think about while we're going over and listening to the news, and I know Mark's got some really bad stuff, but hopefully he's got some good. Think about your questions that you might have and give us a call. Mark, you got some good stuff for me?
Well, yeah, a little bit, but it's...
All right.
Yeah. Things are not looking good in South Florida this morning. The big story we're following, two FBI agents dead in gunfire. The latest in Fox and After.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden takes action on immigration today.
President Biden will sign at least three new executive orders that create a task force to reunify families, develop a strategy to address irregular migration, create a humane asylum system, and a comprehensive three-part plan for safe, lawful, and orderly migration.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. Without mentioning anyone by name, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell in a statement calls conspiracy theories promoted by Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene a cancer for the Republican Party and the country.
The Georgia Republican has suggested the Parkland school shooting was a false flag and has openly questioned the 9/11 attack on the Pentagon. Taylor Greene tweeted, "The real cancer for the Republican Party is weak Republicans who only know how to lose gracefully." House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is expected to meet with Taylor Greene as Democrats call for her removal.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, 44, partly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. The FBI now says at least two agents are dead after serving a warrant in South Florida this morning. Shooting happened in Sunrise outside Fort Lauderdale. Three additional agents were wounded. Two are in stable condition. We don't know the condition of the third. The Bureau also says the suspect is dead. The FBI's Jacksonville office tells us members of their evidence response team are en route to assist in the investigation. City officials in Pensacola touting progress made on sidewalk improvements across the city. News release says the city's Public Works and Facilities Department has repaired a total of about 24,600 linear feet of sidewalk and installed nearly 400 curb ramps, all part of an effort to make the city more accessible to those with disabilities. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Cold and sunny weather for this Tuesday. Today we will be seeing mostly sunny skies, that high reaching 53 degrees. Overnight tonight we do have a good chance at a freeze. We will be seeing clear skies, that low near 32 degrees, even cooler as you go further inland. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
44 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 43 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are rallying, adding to yesterday's gains. The Dow Industrial's up 609 at 30,821. The Nasdaq's up 193. The S&P 500 up 65. Carnival's Princess Cruises is offering passengers on its to-be-resumed cruises the option to bet on sports real-time, the latest company to dabble in online sports betting. The option will be available on Princess's Medallion-class ships, and passengers will be able to bet on sports except for Miami Heat games. Carnival is affiliated with the NBA team. The Kingdom of Wakanda is staking out turf on the Disney Plus streaming service. The TV series set in the Black Panther Kingdom will be developed as part of a five-year exclusive TV deal Disney has announced with filmmaker Ryan Coogler's Proximity Media Company. Coogler wrote and directed 2018 Black Panther, a box office hit that turned Chadwick Boseman into a superstar. That's Your Money Now.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in this Friday morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Kids and Critters Mardi Gras Parade is going virtual this year. There's still time to post a picture of your pet in costume at PensacolaBeachMardiGras.com. The online parade starts at 2. The second annual Who Got Game Wellness Expo happens this Saturday between 11 and 3 at the Florida Department of Health on West Gregory. Free HIV/AIDS testing available. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
Is to win with your money, win with your estate planning. Welcome back to Winning with Mainstay with Bob and Anna Lee. We are here talking about the possible tax changes that are coming about and how you can keep yourself ahead of the game and have some winning strategies. So if you've got a question, you want to make a comment, either call us or fax us at 437-1620. Or if you want to talk to Bob or I personally, call my office, 437-3127, and set up a time to talk to us with Kristen. She'll be glad to talk to you. So, Bob, we've been kind of going back and forth through some of the changes that are coming about and looking at possible raising of tax rates, whether it's going to be retroactive to the beginning of this year or really kick in next year. I tend to think from everything we're seeing and what all the experts are saying that this could be a good year to implement some tax strategies that will help you. So this year we've got a huge standard deduction still. Well, work around that. If you're over 70 and a half, do your IRA, your required minimum distribution, do that as a qualified charitable deduction, then at least you don't have to claim it as income. You're still giving money away to whomever you give it away to, whether that be your church or a nonprofit like the Humane Society, whatever it might be, okay? So those are some things. Now, this I found one of the most interesting of changes that would really help those in the lower tax brackets. It's how they're going to give us a credit for what we put in two 401ks. Now, the good thing, remember, and this was passed before, that no matter what your age now, if you have a J-O-B, right, if you have income, you can still contribute to your IRA and your 401k. So let's talk, Bob, if we can, a little bit about that new thing they're proposing, yeah, about the deductions we'll get by contributing to IRAs and 401ks.
Right. So in the past, really our entire past, we have received or we've been the beneficiary of what is known as a deduction. If you contribute, let's say, whatever amount to your qualified plan, typically you were either not paying taxes on it or you were taking a deduction. Really turns out to be the same thing. But it was dependent on your tax bracket. So if you're a single filer, if you're a single person making less than $40,000 and your taxable income is less than $40,000 after your standard deduction of $12,500, then you would receive a deduction or the value of 12% of your entire contribution. Now, what is being proposed, this is not law, is what is known as a retirement savings credit. And it's a flat, I think they're calling it a revenue neutral, but it's a flat credit. Everybody gets the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's, I think the number they're proposing is 26%. So somebody, yes, that is making less than $50,000, has taxable income of $40,000 or less, and is in the 12% tax bracket, would actually get the benefit of a 26% credit. So if they contributed let's use a nice round number.
A round number, 10,000. Let's say somebody does 10,000 in the 401.
If they contributed $10,000, they would get a tax credit of $2,600. Whereas if they contributed that in years past, they would have the benefit of what amounted to $1,200 in the deduction. That would be the benefit. So it's double, and that's huge. Now, on the other side of that are the high-income earners. 26% tax credit isn't as great as a 35, 37, 39.6% tax credit. But that's okay. You know, it's just and that's what flat means. It's we've heard of flat taxes, you know, flat taxes in our income tax system. We've never had them. But a flat tax credit is something that is being proposed.
Yeah. And again, I think it's important for everybody to realize for the majority of people, this would be a great advantage, and it gives you more of an incentive to put money into your 401k because you get a bigger credit for it. So, and let's go back and kind of explain one more time so you know. So if you make $50,000 a year, and I'm just using round numbers, and you put $10,000 into your 401k, you would report $40,000 as earned income.
Right.
That's the way it's always been, okay? And then you would get that deduction on your taxes for what you had put in, you know, according to your tax bracket. But this is going to give us a 26% credit, which if it passes, will certainly help anyone who is in a tax bracket below that. And a whole lot of people are, you know, so this could be something really good. It might encourage people to do some other more savings.
Yeah. And where a lot of people, let's say they're in a low tax bracket, like 12%, it's probably at this point more beneficial to make a Roth contribution, because at 12%, it's just the value in getting a tax deduction for your contribution to something traditional is not as profound. But so what it may end up doing is, you know, pumping the brakes a little bit on the Roth contributions, especially if a 12% tax bracket earner is able to get a 26% tax credit on that contribution.
Now, they're not talking about, nor has anybody mentioned, changing the fact that when that comes out, it will not be fully taxable. Right. That's not going to happen, because it's a great tax revenue for the government. That's how this whole thing got started. So that, you know, we save a little bit when we put it in, but when it comes out, it's all fully taxable. But if that flat is brought about, that could be something pretty good for people that are out there. So I want to remind you, if you have a question or a comment, either call us at 437-1620 or send a text over. We would love to hear from you. If you want to talk to Bob or I in the office, call the office, 437-3127, and Kristen will set an appointment with you. If you want to ask us something now, 437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. So just as a reminder, the things that we're going through came from horse's mouth, and Jeffrey Levain, who is a CPA, CFP, CWS, MSA, and Deborah Taylor, who is also a CPS, PFS, JD, CDFA. These people know taxes. So when we talk about this kind of stuff, they're the ones that we listen to, or we go to our local expert here, Gwen Gore. She certainly says, you know, that it's a good thing that, you know, you go to the experts. Don't rely on things that are not out there. That's exactly what we do. So again, I just want to remind you, like I talked about at the beginning, you need a good roof, go to Bucco Roofing. You need a good fence done, DP3, it's a Roman numeral 3, DP3 LLC, that's Don Perry. Get those people out there and call them. Jim had texted us, he said, thank you for the roofing and fencing information. He needed those. Call those people, Jim. I guarantee you that you'll be pleased. Now, understand, I'm not saying that they're cheap. They're not. But you don't want the cheapest guy in the block when you're doing that kind of stuff. That's where you get the guys come in. They don't know what they're doing. No, get quality.
You definitely want quality. That's for sure, Annalee. And you know what? We have another question coming in. This refers back to, we were talking about estate planning, and we were just chatting a little bit earlier about the differences between estate taxes and inheritance taxes. And the term came up, step up in basis. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. All right. Let's say if I still had my very first house that I bought in Metairie, Louisiana, and this will give everybody an idea about really how old I am, okay? My first house in Metairie, Louisiana, it was a little two-bedroom, one-bath, huge yard, though. It was on a corner. Nice little house. I paid for that house like $45,000. I'm almost ashamed to admit it. I paid $45,000 for that house. Now, let's suppose I still had that house today, and I still lived in it. It was still my main residence. And today I can guarantee you I could get for that house probably $175,000. Now, if I die, my heirs basically don't have to pay tax between the $45,000 and the $175,000. As long as they sell that home for $175,000 or lower, they have no federal taxes involved. Now, if they sell it for $180,000, the difference between the $175,000 and the $180,000, $5,000 becomes a taxable event. So that is what you call a step up. It works the same way with mutual funds and stock. I buy stock at $10 a share. When I die, it's worth $200 a share. If my heirs sell it at $200 a share, that is a non-taxable event.
Right, right.
Excellent.
And, you know, you see it in real estate. You also see it, we see it often in just holdings. Let's say, you know, not too long ago, you could, you know, let's say somebody had a $10,000 holding in Apple, you know, with a basis of 10,000 shares, 10 bucks a share. Now it's trading at $135 a share, $135,000. You die. That would be $125,000 in gain wiped out because of the step up in basis. And it goes away. It's a beautiful thing. Annalee, it reminds me of a couple of weeks ago, we had a gentleman, he lives up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he wanted to make a gift to his children. I think he was 87 years old, and he had a lot of stock, individual holdings, and he wanted to transfer ownership to his children. And, you know, we talked to the children and we said, look, you really don't want to do this. He's 87 years old. You've got low cost basis. You're going to inherit this stock with the same cost basis because he made a gift during his lifetime. That cost basis transfers with the gift to the new owners, the children. And if they sell it, they're going to get hammered on capital gains taxes. Some of them listened, some of them didn't, but they wanted, you know, what a bird in the hand, right? But, and, you know, usually, you know, we finish the story, maybe the gentleman did pass and the other people did get the step up and, you know, the children did get the step up in basis. He's still, alive and well and doing great. And we'll see how this turns out. But, you know.
Yeah, and there could have been other things he might have done that would have been more tax efficient.
Right.
One of my ladies was in last week. She is now 97, and she has accumulated nice amounts of money. But most of her money was all done in a safe fashion. She did it in annuities. So all of that interest when she passes away is a taxable event. That gets no step up. So what she's starting to do is withdraw some because her tax bracket right now is non-existent. She's going to start withdrawing money and gifting it to the heirs so that they don't have to pay the tax on it. She'll pay the tax at her income tax level, which is much, much lower than theirs would be if they inherited that money.
Right.
So you see the difference in the two there? Is that kind of like clear as muddy water?
Right.
No, I follow it. It's always difficult to explain on the radio, but there are some amazing things we can do when it comes to tax avoidance. And, right. you know, as we always say, you know, it's not what you make. It's what you get to keep and pass along to
it's
those
you
love
keep.
And the causes you believe in.
Yeah. And Bob knows how hard it is for me with the radio because he watches me work with clients. And, you know, the old teacher comes out in me and I always have to have a yellow pad because I've got to have the blackboard and I'm writing and drawing. And, you know, by the time I'm finished, it looks like a big pile of spaghetti.
Right.
But it made sense while I was doing it. And it's amazing because clients will take that with them and they'll come back 3 years later. And they'll still have that little yellow sheet because it's understandable,
right.
you know, and that's how I like to do things is bring them to a level where people can understand them. So back to the tax idea, if, you know, you're thinking about doing things like Roth conversions, this could be the year to do them before or if the taxes start to go up. If you're thinking about passing money on and you want to pay the taxes and not let the heirs pay the taxes, this might be the time to do it before the taxes start going up again. You know, and you notice I say if, because there is no definitive yes or no. Okay. Again, things are being proposed. No one person gets to make that decision. All of this has to be voted on. To point right now, it would be the extremely wealthy who get the biggest hit. Is it going to happen? I don't know.
Right. You know,
go ahead, Bob.
We talk about... you know, what's happening. And I would say, you know, if we're able to measure the pulse of what our clients are thinking, what the consensus is out there, it is that our income taxes are going up, not this year, but next year. I think we all believe
mm-hmm.
that. I think this is going to be a year like no other where voluntary realization of income takes place, and primarily Roth conversions, I think,
mm-hmm.
will be a year like no other in terms of Roth conversions. So
yeah.
So get ready.
And I still think the people that are making $400,000 a year and above, I think they may see some changes that they're not going to like at all.
Right.
Those may come before the end of the year, and whether that will be retroactive to January 1st, I mean, we just cannot say that. You know, it's kind of like welcome to the new norm. It's okay, we think maybe kind of sort of. And that's the way it's going to be for a little while till we can get some of this together.
Right.
So this is an excellent year to do your estate planning if you haven't done that, or to review it if you already have. How much can you give away? And what should you be giving away? What do you have that maybe you could give away that's discretionary, that's not going to affect your lifestyle? Those are things you might want to talk about. Do we need to possibly looking at making the revocable trust irrevocable at this point to shelter some discretionary assets? I mean, those are all the things we've got to look at. Medical expenses, the deduction they're saying now instead of the going up is going to stay at the 7.5 of what you can adjust. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. That's one of the other things that's kind of out there.
Right.
You know, we just right now have got to watch what is going to happen. Now this is one thing. We know for sure, mark on your calendars, the IRS is delaying the start of the 2020 tax filing season until February 12th.
Hmm.
So that is the filing. Normally it opens in late January. They've delayed it to February 12th. However, this year, tax filing deadline is April 15th this year.
Right.
Remember last year, they really pushed it out because of everything that was going on. But the tax filing deadline is still April 15th. So if you haven't talked to your tax person yet, it's time to start lining those things up and making sure you got all your stuff together, okay?
Right. That's exactly right. Good advice. Good advice.
And that's always such a fun thing is to pull out all the tax stuff, right?
That's right.
I love it. Yeah, okay. So now you know what I really think about it. All right, I'm sorry. Okay.
No, it's great. So, I think we're all on the same page, though. It's just that one time of year we all need to maybe lay off the extra caffeine and take a couple chill pills instead.
Yeah.
You got it. You got it. You're exactly right with that, Jenna. And, you know, and people do that. And I always feel so sorry for the poor tax preparers because, you know, I've always thought it's really dumb the way everybody does their taxes at one time during the year.
Right.
Now, how much simpler it would be if, let's say, we did A through D in January, February, and then we did E through G, let's say, in March and April, and stretched everybody out. Think of the poor tax people.
Oh, gosh.
Huh. I mean, they're up all night during tax season.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but you know they don't do anything the rest of the year. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, you better not, like,
oh,
win.
Oh, man, our phones are going to blow up now.
Yeah, right. No, but, I mean, think about that. They work all year long, and then you come to that one time of the year, and think about all the government people out there that work in the IRS who all of a sudden have all this stuff coming in, and we've got to get checks back out, and we've got to figure out who needs to be audited and who doesn't and who really messed up, and they're not getting the money they think they're getting, or they should be getting more than they have requested. You know, it just, to me, it's always been a crazy thing the way we've said, all right, this is the deadline.
Right.
And everything's got to be completed by that time. But you can't even file till a certain time.
Right.
Who came up with that?
I had a very interesting thing happen this past week. We rolled over a 401A, basically a qualified plan from Ascension Healthcare, which is Sacred Heart. And I hope I can mention these vendors and the employers.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, our local Sacred Heart had a retiree. They had contributed to the plan for decades, and they were rolling it over. Transamerica is the manages the plan. So the plan had been the participant hadn't been an active participant in the plan for several years and is 73 years old. But when we called Transamerica, you know, usually, you know, they're going to require the required minimum distribution be distributed to the participant before rolling it over. And
yes.
You know what happened? They didn't.
Because it
hasn't been finalized, you know, whether we have to take an RMD in 2021.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, why didn't they do that? And it's because, and I would say most plans are following suit. I just, you know, this is one that I ran into, and I told our client, you know, you're going to get your RMD, you know, because they're not going to transfer it without making sure they've done their part since you owned it into 2021. But they did not. So we're responsible for that sometime during the year.
Wow.
Interesting.
All right, people, go out, say please, say thank you. Smile at somebody. Tell them they did a good job.
Myself,
and really, truly, make it a wonderful
day. What a wonderful
day. See you next week. Bye-bye.